You don't know that much. You don't have much. Your body isn't great. What do I do now? The ego says, I need something to... It doesn't say that, it's an unconscious process. But if it could speak, the ego said, what can I identify with? Oh my God. No matter what you achieve, no matter where you are, there's always something missing. So this is, we come to the limitations of what people call their identity, their self. You can never be fulfilled for very long when you're trapped in your egoic sense of self, because ultimately it is a story in your mind that you tell yourself. It's a narrative. Me and my life. My life. But it's not your life, because the only place where your life happens is in this moment. This moment, this is your life. But not all the memories and the accumulated conditionings in your mind. I call that sometimes your life situation. You have a life situation in time. Everybody has a past. So you have a past that you identify with, certain things from the past you identify with, good and bad. I forgot to mention that sometimes the ego does not find enough things to identify with. So let's say, for example, you don't have many possessions. Certainly you don't have more possessions than others, so you can't identify with that. Maybe your body doesn't look particularly great, so you know that your body isn't superior to most people's bodies. That was the case with me, and it still is, obviously. So, and then other things that people invest, knowledge. I know more than you. That's another big thing. And perhaps you don't have that either. You don't know that much. You don't have much. Your body isn't great. What do I do now? The ego says, I need something to... It doesn't say that, it's an unconscious process. But if it could speak, the ego said, what can I identify with? Oh, my God. Oh, I got it. I've got some... You create a thought form, because ultimately they're all thought forms. If you go down to the root of all identification, is thought, because even your possessions, you experience them as thought forms. My car, my house, my this. And even the body becomes, it's a thought form of body. You have a body image, a thought form. So ultimately, all identifications, although they maybe seem to be external, but if you go to the root of it, identification is always with thought. And so let's come back to this person who doesn't have anything to make him or her feel superior, because that's what the ego is looking for. You need to find some superiority to give me a sense that I exist. And so then what it can easily do, it creates a thought form in which it perceives itself as unfairly treated by life. And the thought form, I'm not denying that there are many people who looked at it from a certain viewpoint. One could say, well, they have been unfairly treated by life. There is, of course, there are many people in this world where you could say that happened to them. But the question is, are you transforming that into an identity? There's a fact that may be true or not true, but are you transforming this, and then you create a thought form as you, as somebody who has been unfairly treated by life. And that thought form can get very big and can be as powerful and even more strong, even stronger than a thought form that is perhaps usually associated with an ego that says, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, nobody's better than me, look at me. Some well-known politicians may be like that, not mentioning any names. So you have a thought form. It says, ultimately, the term we could use to describe this ego identification is victim identity. And this is a very, many people have that. It's become almost fashionable these days to have a victim. You see yourself or the group of people that you belong to as a victim of others, other groups of people, not denying that people have been treated badly, groups of people by others. All these are facts. But the important question is, are you transforming that into an identity for yourself? And then it becomes a huge a prison for yourself. And you have built your own prison. The question may arise, if the ego seeks superiority, how can it be superior if you've been treated unfairly, if you're a victim of others? Well, it's obvious. If you are a victim of others, you are automatically morally superior to the others as a victim. That's how that identity works. It's an unconscious process, so people may not be conscious of that. But it makes you morally superior to all the others, no matter what they have achieved. It becomes irrelevant. You are superior. And that is another ego strategy that operates in many people. I do not deny that other people and groups of people have become victims of other people and other groups. People do bad things to each other, and collectives do dreadful things to each other. Millions have been killed, enslaved, all kinds of things. So you can see these as facts, but the danger is, facing the facts is good, to recognize facts is good, but the danger is that you transform that into an identity, which means it becomes a thought form. This is who or what I am. That is the prison. And so this is where we are at in our evolutionary development. Most humans are trapped in the egoic sense of self. And the egoic sense of self operates both on an individual level, where it tends to create a lot of suffering that ultimately is unnecessary, and on a collective level, where it creates a lot of conflict between nations and so on. In the collective ego, in its more extreme forms, is even more dysfunctional and more insane than the individual ego. If you are trapped in a collective ego, people have done the most dreadful things to each other. People who were trapped in a collective ego image, that's us against them, us against them. So you dehumanize a whole group of humans mentally, because you construct a conceptual reality for them. That is who or what you attach certain labels or names to groups of people, whether it's religious or political, but they are the enemy, they are the others. So you create a collective, a conceptual identity for others. And for yourself also, you belong to this group. And then you no longer can sense their inherent humanity, that they are human beings. So, and then the next step is physical violence. And that's how in Germany, National Socialism had millions killed, other groups dehumanizing a certain group. In communist Russia, Soviet Union, also millions killed internally. China under Mao Zedong, Cultural Revolution, millions killed internally by dehumanizing others and simply attaching a label, class enemies in communism. These are the class enemies. They are the traitors, the class enemies. Let's eliminate them. They are less than human. They're class enemies. Okay. Total craziness. If you read history, I don't know if I would recommend that you should read a book on just 20th century history. You would go crazy if you read what did they do to each other. There was not only the warfare, there was genocide, there was within nations, nation against nation, genocide within nations. And I don't know whether you would get very depressed if you read that, you'd say, or it might suddenly enlighten you and say, yes, there is a huge streak of insanity in the human mind. There can be no doubt about that. Yes, humans have created great things also, but undoubtedly, there is something not right in the human mind. There is a dysfunction there hidden. Perhaps it's manifesting even more strongly now than ever before. There's something not right in the human mind, and that's an important recognition. But you don't only recognize it by reading a history book. You can also recognize it on a collective level just by listening, watching the news tonight, not the Oilers, the other news. Watching the news tonight, and most of that shows the deep dysfunction in the collective human mind that's happening. And you can also see it, perhaps, if you look at your own life, maybe not right now, because you're already awakening, at least, if not awakened. But if you look back in your own life, how very often your suffering was created completely unnecessarily. And that's quite a realization when you see how suffering is created simply by misuse of the mind.